Thank you. Hello, boys and girls. This is Timothy Leary, and I'm in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Well, the only hope here is WCBN FM. If you're ever stuck in Ann Arbor, stick around with WCBN FM, Ann Arbor.
That's beautiful.
Right on.
That's right. You are listening to WCBN FM Ann Arbor 88.3, and it's now time for IT, Interactive Technologies. Don't forget to check out the IT website at wcbn.org/IT. It's wcbn.org/IT. Stay tuned. Thank you for tuning in to Interactive Technologies. This is our show for Tuesday, the 26th of December of the year 2006. And in the studio with us, we have for a second round of discussion, Mark Frazier, who is an entrepreneur in a lot of areas and involved in sort of taking not only music and the arts and creativity to a new level, I think, but also taking marketing and, in particular, viral marketing and new methods of doing business and of advertising and taking that to a new level. So I'd like to thank him for coming down again to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. So a sort of a recap for people who may not have caught the last show or just to sort of bring people up to speed, maybe talk just a little bit about some of the things that you've done to give our listeners a little bit of perspective.
Right. Well, my background, of course, was been involved in computers since 1984, was out in Silicon Valley, worked at Apple, Microsoft, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, Nintendo, a whole bunch, all the big names, have been responsible for a lot of different technology that's gone out in the world. And most recently, I've been working with BitTorrent and creating viral marketing using these types of technology, these sharing technologies, to try to promote the payment of artists getting paid for what they do, even though people can copy and share for free. I made an online television show called How to Do Girls. It's a bit of a joke. Actually, it's a lot of a joke. But it ranked amongst the top 100 most popular viral videos of all time. And I'm now trying to work on some other aspects of getting people paid for their intellectual I don't want to say property because I don't believe that intellectual ideas can be property.
That's interesting, actually, and we discussed this later in the evening that same night about how it's more taking ideas and assembling, taking ideas that are already there and sort of assembling them into maybe something other people hadn't seen before or whatever. It's
right.
not taking something out of the thin air, in other
well,
words.
Well, it's kind of is taking it out of the thin air. You're not making it. All information has always existed. You discover it.
Right.
So if you lay claim to something, it's, you know, you're really being very violent. And it's counterproductive, and it's counterintuitive, too, because, you know, in the normal world that we're used to economics, which is the study of how to manipulate, control scarce items,
right.
things that, you know,
resources.
Yeah. Well, but when you're dealing with information, there is no scarcity. There's an infinite amount. Everything that's ever been created, everything that's ever been thought of, is already thought of. Everything
right.
can be thought of. And one of the ways you can really understand this is if you think of a number. What's the biggest number you can count to? Well, you know, obviously there is no biggest number. It goes on forever.
Right.
And when we look at like these MP3s and music and things of that nature, in a digital world, it's all just a number. So any idea can be represented digitally. Therefore, there's an infinite number of ideas, and we just rearrange the bits
right.
to, you know, find one that's cool.
So let's talk a little bit about the systems. We had mentioned them a little bit before, and now maybe we can delve into them a little bit. The new systems that are on their way to deal with these new paradigms.
Yeah, well, the biggest problem that we have right now is all of our economic systems. Again, the word economic, I really want to try to break free from that, because we're moving into a world of abundance. You know, everything is, there's plenty of everything. You know, we've if you look at the waistlines of most people in Michigan, we've got a big abundance of food.
Yeah.
But there's more than we really need, and there's more than we can possibly consume. So we have to look at the world differently. It's exactly a mirror opposite of what we're used to. So how do you deal with the fact that people are copying things? How do you make things? And, you know, because people still have to spend their time, and that is one thing that isn't infinitely abundant. You
right.
have, you know, give or take, about 120 years, and that's it. You're done. So attention is one item that is actually scarce. Probably one of the only items that is scarce. So how do people get paid for their time? And what I recommend doing is, there's a lot of ways that we can go about doing that. And that's, we touched on that in the last episode when we were talking about Inagata.
Right.
And we were talking about advertising, which advertising is nothing more than selling your popularity, letting
right.
somebody rent your popularity.
Right.
So popularity is now a very big commodity. It's always has been, but now Google yeah. has figured out a way to commoditize it.
Yes.
And let you sort of sell your popularity.
Right. Cult of personality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad in some ways.
And in some ways, I think, yeah.
Right. As long as the personality realizes the control, the power they have, and uses that appropriately. And the cool thing, though, now, is that on the internet, everybody's connected to everybody. So if somebody does something really stupid, they're exposed immediately.
Right.
And but they can also, you know, recover immediately if they so choose.
Right.
But that's a totally different way. You know, they talk about democracy. And I personally don't like that word again, too. I mean, I'm going to talk about a lot of these words that are different. But democracy, or, you know, is you really want to, the goal that we really think that we want when we say that word is everybody's in charge. You know, they have, you know, individual control. And that's really what we have now with the internet. Is that everybody does have control. You can choose what you want to see. You can choose to put stuff out. You can reach individuals, you know, on a very unique basis, an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a much more control towards the individual. And that just is totally wrecking all of the established rules.
And I guess what you've decided to do is try to find ways that are a win-win for everyone, I guess.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Or win-win-win, if we
right.
can do that.
Right.
For instance, in advertising, if you have an artist create something, and like a video, like the videos that I did, and we write the ad into the video, all right? It's not a commercial. It's not an interruption. It's part of the information. Therefore, when the consumer, the viewer watches it, I'm helping them. I'm showing them some information that they want to see in a funny way.
Right.
And they get to learn about something they want. So they're benefiting from the entertainment. They're benefiting from the extra information of the product that they probably will want, that they'll need. the person that makes this and is trying to sell it, the advertiser in this case, they benefit by the consumers finding out about it, and I benefit because the advertiser is paying me. This is all, you know, very win-win-win kind of situation. And that's what you really are trying to achieve. There is no such thing as a win-lose situation when we're dealing with information.
Right.
Because information can be infinitely copied. So a lot of different rules, and that's one of the biggest things we got to deal with.
So what is the next step then? What is?
Well, the next step is abundance, mm-hmm. which Paul Romer has talked about this, the post scarcity.
Okay.
And he goes a pretty good distance on this. You can look him up on the internet. Okay. Actually, if you want to find out more about this stuff, you can check out my blog. It's Mark Profit with 2 F's and 2 T's. So, you know, I profess the future. I try to Mark, tell.
Right. So that's markprofit.com, P-R-O-F-F-I-T-T.
Yeah. And I'm talking about innovation, creativity, business, and this new abundance society that we're moving into.
Now, as sort of a devil's advocate, in a society of abundance, it's clear that there are still people who have no abundance at all, and that because of technology and because there have to be computers and you have to have an internet connection, what about those who are not able to participate in this abundance?
Well, we are definitely in a transition state at this moment, mm-hmm. and the people that are really on the leading edge of this abundance are noticing this, and we can see that it's going to change. And the idea of that anybody being without is just, that's antithetical. That just isn't what happens in abundance. That's a scarcity mindset.
Right.
And so many people have benefited from trying to restrict from the scarcity mindset. That's where you've got a pie, and you try to get the biggest piece, slice of that pie as you possibly can.
Right.
When you're thinking about abundance, that's not what you think. You think, all right, we're going to make this pie incredibly huge.
And just keep expanding the size of the pie until everyone is included, yeah.
Right. So what ends up happening is there's so much stuff available that it's all free. You just don't care. So you're much more likely to share. Everybody just gets some. And your relative position is now isn't based on what you own. It's based on how much you help people. And I know a lot of people are going, oh, this is all pie in the sky kind of,
right,
kind
of, yeah, yeah.
Kind of goofy
pie
stuff.
Right.
But I'm a physicist, and this is I'm talking about reality here.
Right.
And it's kind of bizarre, but it's real. I've got my degrees in business and in computer science, and I've studied physics, and this is reality. And it's very difficult for a lot of businesses to understand that and try to grasp it. But a lot of this stuff could really help Michigan, particularly right now, because we have been based so top-down scarcity mindset. And, you know, there's people right now that are unemployed and getting laid off.
I just read an article today about emissions where GM is complaining that emissions standards that are going to be jacked up in this country are going to cause the Japanese car manufacturers to get ahead because they're going to be selling more SUVs and whatever. In Michigan, now the car companies are fighting for every single gasp of breath that they can right now to survive. And all of this has been based on manufacturing and assembly lines and sort of that mindset.
Right.
And that business model, and we're being forced to change that. Now, how does Michigan end up benefiting from this?
Well, one of the things they got to realize is we're always going to manufacture stuff.
Right.
I mean, it needs to be manufactured. It doesn't necessarily have to be manufactured by people, though.
Right.
Okay. Now, that's going to scare the hell out of people, I know.
Right. And the first reaction is, what about my job?
Right. Well, right. I'm going to suggest, and I'm going to lightly suggest it here because I know it's going to freak people out, but what are you working for? You're working to not have to work anymore. I mean, that's everyone's goal, right? To retire.
Right.
I would like to set the age of retirement at birth. Okay. And that is possible. There are people today that already have that. And as we move forward, that the number of people, the amount of people is increasing and increasing. So we're not there yet. That's a long ways off. I mean, you know, we've got the, you know, what top six, you know, the billion people on the top that are incredibly wealthy here in the U.S. We don't think about it, but, you know, the poorest person has three TVs.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But as we move, everybody's up. Everyone's going to have more. But so Michigan here, manufacturing, still needs to be manufacturing, still needs to have stuff made. And we always want, you know, we're always going to need stuff, right. You know, certain types of stuff. One of the things that Michigan really could do is realize we've been making cars, right? One thing to think about is, well, if we're not the best at making cars, and mind you, I worked very, very closely with the car industry back in my early career. We're doing statistical process control and trying to teach them Deming's model. Now, this is a great story because Deming came up with his way of increasing quality and reducing cost. And he pitched it to the big auto industry. And at the time, this was in the 50s, 60s, and they said, oh, that's great. That's fabulous. That's great. I think it'll work really well. But we could put chrome on a turd and they'd still buy it. And they just didn't want to listen to him. Well, so he went over to Japan, who had just been destroyed by the war. Yeah. And hey, you know, they had nowhere to go but up. So they listened to him and they started doing it. And originally they were making, you know, crap. You know, their stuff wasn't that great. Right. Everybody laughed at that cheap thing made in Japan.
Right.
You don't say that anymore, though.
No, not particularly since the 80s.
Yeah. Right. No, the stuff from Japan is the best, highest quality, most innovative in the entire, right. You know, we've ever imagined.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we're also using that same term, you know, same thought pattern towards China today.
Yes.
Oh, it's cheap Chinese crap.
Right. But now, the past few years, they're changing and they're trying to move. Matter of fact, I've actually talked about this on the shows. They have a plan of trying to move towards the design of the things that they've been manufacturing all these years and taking over those aspects. And they will be a force to be reckoned with. They are a force to be
reckoned with. They are definitely a force to be reckoned with, merely because there's a billion of them. But yes. They are not going to be making low quality stuff forever.
Right.
And I don't think anybody else should be. One of the problems that the U.S. is dealing with is that we're still stuck in this mindset of control and limited, you know, scarcity. Here's another example, a story. When the original CAFE rules, the gas mileage rules came out, the U.S. automakers just screamed, you know, oh my God, we can't do this. We can't possibly get the fuel efficiency you guys are talking about. Well, Mr. Honda went and took a small block Chevy engine right off the line out of a car, took the heads off of it, put other heads on it, and increased the performance, the fuel efficiency by 25%.
Wow.
Just twins for replacement parts. So, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess. You know. See, what they've done is they figured out that by using force, they can get what they want rather than using innovation.
Right.
Now, that worked pretty well, and it's still working fairly well at this point, except as the ability to produce gets spread farther and wider, and the ability to come into it, the entry point gets lower and lower. Because, I mean, now on the internet, I mean, when I was making, you know, when we make movies, it used to be, you know, movies, you had to have huge amounts of people.
Right.
Well, now some volunteers can kind of get together and make a big budget film. Well, what looks like a big budget film, you know, in their home.
Yeah.
And the same thing applies to just about anything. Manufacturing. We have these devices now that are called 3D printers. We can actually design something on a computer and print it. I mean, that's literally what it's doing. It's
into three dimensions.
Into three dimensions. It's actually a physical machine. It's, you know, you make something out of steel, out of metal, and you don't have to have anything other than this device. And yep. they're $100,000. Now, it's expensive, but people have cars that are $100,000 these
days.
This
is true.
You know, it's not that outrageous. And what was $100,000, you know, 10 years ago is now $5,000.
Right.
You know, so those numbers are going to come down. So now we've got people able to make what they, you know, they come up with something, they can make it, they can, you know, and have it out manufactured instantaneously. It's now information. Imagine going to the store and instead of picking something off the shelf that's been sitting there around collecting dust, you can just say, well, measure me. And I would pick it from a catalog or maybe not pick it from the catalog, maybe have them just, you know, sort of measure you, and it's automatically designed for you right there, and then it gets spit out this right there. You're watching it. There's zero waste at that point. absolutely no waste. The cost has come down. And that, you know, so now we're talking, there's a great cost reduction. So there's a couple other things I can mention, say like Michigan. Michigan has a lot of real strengths. We've got these huge factories, right? We're good at manufacturing. We're pretty good at manufacturing. And we've got all this infrastructure for doing manufacturing. We know how to organize people to build things in a big way. So what other things can we do? Well, China right now is the biggest market in the world, right? And there's one thing that they really need a lot of. That's houses.
Yes.
Okay. We've got empty factories here. They've got all their people working on other stuff to send here.
Right.
Well, why don't we build houses and send them over there? You know, we could do that. That's that. I mean, that's just a right off the top of my head kind of thing that we could do. Or how about this? You know, if you're manufacturing, you're running the assembly line, you know, from left to right, right? Why don't you run the assembly line right to left and disassemble stuff?
That's a good point. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are some of the outcomes that we can come up with this outcompete method that I had hinted at before. And the outcompete method is a way of systematically predicting innovation. It's predictive innovation. And I literally can, you know, come up with thousands of patentable inventions, new ways of doing business processes, and I don't need any secret information. Just normal, you know, normal things that everybody that knows about that particular industry knows. And that's what I've been working with, and that's how I came up with a lot of these things that I've been doing here. So
interesting. So how could people find out more about that? What type of resources?
Well, there's pretty much only one resource on that, and that's my blog.
Okay.
That's, markprofit.com.
Okay.
That's where I'm going to be talking about a lot of this, because I found out about most of this stuff from some Russians, a couple of guys from Russia. Well, actually, they're Ukrainian. But the technique that was, they discovered this technique, they were taught this technique by the Russian military. And the Russian military is, I don't know, people don't think about the Russians all that much as being, you know, technologically advanced, but they're incredibly technologically advanced in a different way.
Right.
You know, they came up with LASIK, the laser eye surgery.
Right.
Their mindset's very different. You know, the reason they did that wasn't because it was cool or, you know, like, you know, some sort of special cool thing to do. It was because they couldn't afford to have classes for everybody.
Right.
So it was cheaper to, you know, have assembly line, you know, eye surgery.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah. And they look at things in a completely different way. I mean, one of the ways that they come up with stuff is when NASA was trying to come up with a way to write in the space shuttle, you know, on the rockets. Actually, this is during the moon trips.
Right.
They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to come up with this special ballpoint pen that could write in zero gravity. All right. Cool, right? I mean, we did it. It was great. You know what the Russians did? These pencils.
That makes sense.
Right. So they have this system, and these Russians have come here, Len and Peter, and their website is outcompete.com.
Okay.
I'm going to be working with them more to promote this, because I really want to promote this, because I think the U.S. really needs this at this point. We've been on top. We're used to being on top. That's going to change. And we can either get ahead of it, and or, you know, we can collapse like, you know, Rome did, and like every other big power system has done the past.
Overreaching empire. Yeah.
Right. And this stuff is, you know, we really have to do this now, because, you know, interactive technology means that everything's expanding exponentially.
Yes.
And when you're, you know, an exponential curve, you cannot, you know, react.
Right.
You can't be reactive. You have to be proactive. And proactive meaning you need to know where this is going before it gets there, so you can be sitting out ahead and ride that wave of innovation. It's like, you know, innovation surfing.
Right.
So that's really what I'm focusing a lot more on with that. So again, I'm going to be writing a lot about this. I'm going to be putting out some videos. I'm writing three books at the moment.
Nice.
Talking about it. One of the books is going to be called Losers Don't Cheat. And the idea there is, you know, Losers Don't Cheat, and subtitle how innovators have changed the rules of the game to always win.
I see.
And how you can too.
Ah. Ah, interesting.
Right, and we're going to go through some of these approaches, and this is what we really need to do. You need to change the rules of the game, because, like it or not, somebody's going to do it.
Right.
And if you're not ready to deal with it, you're really in trouble.
So do you see that these new methods are going to overcome the corporate hesitancy and hesitance to embrace sort of the new paradigms?
Eventually, yes.
Okay.
What might happen, historically what has happened, is the entrenched power structures just crumble and collapse, and new things come out of the, you know, out of the outgrowth of it. We are trying to work with some of these companies. I mean, I have sat in with some of these companies. We presented, here's an interesting situation. When I was doing How to Do Girls and with Viral Video Solutions, we had this system for creating viral videos and advertising built into it. And one of the tools we had could track who watched stuff. We had this, what we called Twinkle Map, and we'd use Google Maps. I don't even use it anymore, because Google has now taken all their tools, made it into Google Analytics,
right,
and did it much better than the tools that I custom made,
right.
So I just use theirs.
Right.
Again, it's free. I mean,
right,
this stuff's just coming out. You
right.
can't really compete. So we showed them this technique. We did a show for them. We had this entire series that was going to be on cable, and it was dual broadcast over the internet, and everything was great. Well, they loved it. They thought it was great. But they couldn't buy it, because they didn't know who should write the PO. They had a creative department that was in charge of creating content,
right,
and for their ad agencies, and then they had the place that bought empty airspace.
Right.
And this was neither one of those. And I had a guy sitting across me, you know, with a $100,000 budget, and he can't fill out the paperwork.
Wow. So paradigm shifts. We've been talking to Mark Fraser. You can find out more by going to markprofit.com. Check out the archives. We did a show last week with him talking about some of his other stuff in relation to intellectual property and music and art distribution on the net. And I'd like to thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Awesome. And I'd like to encourage our listeners to check out the IT website at wcbn.org/it. It's wcbn.org/it. And right now we're going to close out with a track from The Residents doing a cover of a James Brown tune. It's a Man's World. Good night.
And man made the electric light to take us out of